Hallelujah, hallelujah, shalom. I greet you in Jesus' name. This is our last installment in the book of Romans, chapter number 16, and we want to look at verses 17 to 27. We have come a long way. The Lord is faithful. Paul is still looking for the way to urge the church in Italy, in Rome, to give their bodies a living sacrifice, to give themselves to serve the church, the body of Jesus with their gifts, to give themselves even to serve their neighbors, to give themselves to sacrificially serve their government, to give themselves to serve their brothers and sisters in the fellowship. He gave Jesus as an example of one who gave himself to serve sacrificially, who left heaven, came to earth. He became a man so that he could serve those that were under the law. Then he gave himself as an example, Paul as an example of the one he had served from Jerusalem to Illyricum. And he gave the way he served in the past and the way he was called by God to go to the Gentile world, and he gave his ministry, and he was delayed to come to to Rome because he was still finishing the work there in the Jewish, I mean in the Gentile nations. But now he had completed. He was looking forward to go to Spain, and so he wrote this letter to ask them to support him so that with their support, he could be able to get to Spain. Then he talked about currently he was now taking a gift, financial gift to Jerusalem, where the Gentile church had given, still urging this team. And finally, in chapter 16, we discover that Paul now gave an example of so many of his friends who had worked with him, and they were still in the Roman church, in the church at Itri. He said, amongst you, there are people who have already given themselves to Christ ministry, and I want you, and he appreciated them. And we discovered that he was able to show that Paul understood the principles of a good fellowship. And a good fellowship, we discovered, is that he's able to do about five things. Good fellowship is able to welcome each other, or to welcome those that are coming. You start with W. A good fellowship is able to worship God together. A good fellowship is able to take the welfare issues of all the members very well. A good fellowship is able to witness for God within and outside itself. A good fellowship is able to keep the worksheet or the records very well, as Paul had done. A good fellowship is able to do warfare, to pray for each other, and to pray against the powers of darkness. And now Paul mentioned that there are these members, we work together, and he said they are amongst you, and some of them, like Phoebe, he sent to take this letter. And Paul is still encouraging them and winning this team even to the mission. Finally, Paul is now talking about something very critical. He is urging this church, brothers and sisters in the church of Rome, to watch out. This is the last thing, to watch out for the people who cause division. I want you to listen to this. He's finishing. And he says, as I urge you, I want you to watch out for people who cause division amongst you, who put obstacles in your way contrary to the teaching they have already received. He advised the fellowship to keep away from such people, since they are since they serve themselves but not the Lord Jesus Christ. These people cause division because of loving their stomachs. He promised that the God of peace would soon crush Satan, who is the author of these people, where these people are getting their, you know, their orders to cause division. He said that soon the God of peace would soon crush Satan under their feet. He also took an opportunity to present his greeting from his own traveling teams. And finally, he finished by giving praise, what was called doxology, to God, and that he would soon establish them according to the gospel that he was preaching. Now, Paul here finishes this story of urging people by talking about something very critical, which we would take to other books as we start our new episode in the book of the letters of John. We will focus on what Paul finishes up here. Paul is finishing with those who cause division, those that are causing, who are having false teaching. You know, he talks about those that have divisive critics. It's not bad to criticize, but when your criticism causes division in the ministry, you should stop them completely. Now, if you look at what Paul says from the book of Romans 16 and verses 17, let me read, because it's an urge. Remember, he began in chapter 12 by talking about, I urge to offer yourself a living sacrifice, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, he is finishing with the same, because he has been urging. He said, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Just the way he had started in chapter 12. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and who put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Now, he talked about those that you are supposed to watch out two groups of people. Please get this. You are supposed to watch out for two groups of people. Number one, for those who cause division. As a leader, you're not only supposed to give vision, you're not supposed only to provide provisions, you're not supposed to give supervision. You are supposed to watch out for divisions. All these words end with division. Those who cause division, because they will be able to divide your vision. Division is a two-letter word of division or division. You are cutting the vision. You are destroying the vision that God has given you. And Paul says, watch out. Don't give them space. So that's the first category of people that they were supposed to watch out. Those who cause division, they are many. Number two, they are those who put obstacles in the way that's contrary to the teachings they had received, they have learned. Those who cause, who put obstacles are those who teach false doctrine. And that's why we are going to take enough time from now to enter into how do you confront those who cause division and those who put obstacles. That will be our next theme as we venture into the next book. So these are the two things that he's saying that you should watch out. People who are teaching wrongly, false teaching. Those people who bring heresies. Because heresies are like poison. Heresies are like yeast. When they're put in the door, they destroy everything. So Paul says, watch out. Then he says, keep them away from you. Keep them away. Don't allow them in. You should decisively work on this group. Don't give them space at all. Because they will stop what God has given you to do as a vision bearer. Verses 18. For such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetite. False teachers and those who cause division do not serve Jesus Christ. At the bottom of why they're doing this, if you listen to them, They serve their own appetite. They do not serve God. They come in a way of saying, I'm concerned about the things you're going through. You're not being led well. Have you heard this meeting that was met by the leader and all that? And Paul says that for such people, you should keep them off. Keep away from them. Don't give yourself them to them. For such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but they are serving their appetites. Look at the way they use. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive minds of naive. Now, here, Paul says how they do it. They have got very smooth talk. They are flattery. Words that they speak, you know, evil of the leader. They have got a smooth talk. They use flattery language. But that one is to deceive minds of naive people. They start to those who are naive. Naive minds are people who have not grown enough to understand. When you see that if you are actually taken by those decisive people, those people who cause division, and those people who teach wrongly, it shows that your mind is naive. Naive means you are a child of faith. You still not grown. No mature people would be able to follow such, because you should tell yourself, why is this person speaking wrongly? They are cursing the meat in the name of prayer. But Paul says they cause decision, or they deceive the minds of naive people. Verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So he encourages church and says, I know you people, you will not fall under such, because you are wise people and you are supposed to do what is good and innocent about what is evil. You should know evil, you should know good. You should know what to follow. And then he finishes by saying, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now here, he is talking about where the division comes from, where heresies come from, where wrong teachings come from. And some of the people apparently who were used, who cause division by the way they talk, who bring obstacles, are brothers and sisters. Some of them are leaders and deacons, and even elders. But Paul says, all these come from Satan, because he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Why is he bringing Satan here? He had not talked about Satan anywhere. This word seems like verses 20, chapter 60, verse 20. He has brought in Satan. Why? Because he is the author of division. He is the author of all wrong and obstacles, heretical teaching. And Paul finishes this letter by saying, watch out on this. And then finally, Paul, as he finished the book of Romans, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Then he took time to now give the greetings of his co-workers. He says, Paul, Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greeting to you, as do Lycas, Jason, Sospater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. We are being told who wrote the letter for Paul. Paul only dictated a person called Tertius, who means number three, did that. Gaius also, whose hospitality and the whole church Gaius, whose hospitality I, the whole church, were here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works. These are friends of Paul, who are not even in the ministry, but they are born again. This is somebody, a director of public ministry. And our brother Quintus send you their greetings. And then he finishes this. Now to him who is able. This is called doxology. This is the word of praise. This is the way he says, "Oh God, I thank you," to him who is able to establish you. That is to God. In accordance to my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long age past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to study the book of Romans. Help us to put it into practice now. Help us to understand the message of the gospel that is divided into the message of sin, understanding sin, understanding salvation, understanding sanctification, being cleansed, understanding the sovereign choice, and understanding even the service that you have been talking about. Help us, Lord, to serve you without malice, and help us to serve you without dividing the vision that you've given the rest of us. Help us to honor and help us to appreciate those who serve, and to support men and women whom you have called into the ministry. We worship you and glorify you. Help us, guide us into the next phase of our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.